Grace and peace to you and to your families as we gather here on, I suppose, the second Wednesday in Lent. It's so nice to see you all here this evening. This evening's topic is I am the bread of life. And so we'll talk about bread, but before we do, I want you to realize that the first two words that Jesus says, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, means something very special. When we say I am something or other, all we're doing is saying I am something or other. I am a Lutheran, I am an American, I am a citizen of Orwigsburg, whatever. We're just saying I am something. But when Jesus says I am, what he wants you to remember is a piece of scripture from Exodus. In the third chapter of Exodus, we hear how Moses came to find a bush that was on fire and yet not consumed by fire. And through this burning bush, God talks to Moses. And ultimately, we read this portion of scripture in the third chapter of Exodus in the 13th verse. But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I tell them?" God says to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you me to you." God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations." God is the great I am. He's not the great I was or the great I will be, but he is forever I am. There's no beginning to God and no end to God. And so when Jesus begins to tell his disciples, "I am the bread of life," he wants them to hear his proclamation is not only a proclamation of his being the bread of life, but indeed he is the I am. He's the very Son of God. He is divine. And especially in the Gospel of John, that comes up time and time again, the divinity of the Son of God. And so when you hear, "I am the bread of life," certainly hear the I am part of it, and not just the bread of life portion. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus talks in parables, everywhere except the Gospel of St. John. In the Gospel of St. John, we have no parables, but we have seven statements, seven I am statements. Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the bread of life," in the 6th chapter. "I am the light of the world," in the 8th chapter. "I am the gate for the sheep," in the 10th chapter. "I am the good shepherd," also in the 10th chapter of John. "I am the resurrection and the life," in the 11th chapter. "I am the way and the truth," in the 14th chapter. And in the 15th chapter, Jesus says of himself, "I am the true vine." During this Lenten season, I'll be able to share with you four of the seven statements that Jesus says when he calls himself an I am. And we'll have an opportunity to think about what it is to follow a God who is not only eternal, but is for us many things, that we in this life can be many things to others. You know, it's really curious that everybody has bread. Everyone in the world knows what bread is, except for people who live in very Arctic places. And the reason is simple. If you have grain, you can make bread. And if you have bread, you have literally the staff of life. In Jesus' day, bread indeed was life. If you had bread and water, it sounds like we would think of a prison. Oh my gosh, you're stuck with bread and water. What a terrible thing that is. Bread and water was life in Jesus' day. If you had bread and water, you could sustain yourself, and for a very long time. Indeed, the Israelites relied on bread. We heard earlier how, as they traveled through the wilderness, God provided for them a certain kind of bread. They complained in the wilderness, "We are so hungry. It would have been better to be killed in Egypt than be starved in the wilderness." And so God not only provides bread for them, but quails, meat, and bread. And I tend to think to myself, you know, There are a lot of people that would do well with just meat and bread. Yeah, vegetables are nice. But there's a lot of people in Pennsylvania, if you gave them meat and bread, they'd be quite happy with that. And the Israelites were quite happy with what God gave them. This kind of manna that came was something that was remarkable. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for manna is a phrase. And so when the Israelites said, "What is it?" The word manna means, "What is it?" Because it had never existed before. It was something like frost, but it was still bread. And so they would gather it up in the morning, only enough for the day. Only enough for the day. They couldn't keep it in reserve. They couldn't use it more than one day because it would spoil. So the idea of daily bread, we get that from the Israelites traveling through the wilderness. God provided for them manna. It was literally daily bread. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray for daily bread, but not just bread, certainly everything that comes with bread too. And not just meat, but health and life. Indeed, we pray for life, for God has blessed his people in the past and continues to bless us. So how is Jesus the bread of life? Well, there's a lot of ways we can talk about this, and I get a feeling I could probably go on for more than a few minutes. But let's talk about a few things. Let's say that indeed it must have bothered the Israelites when they heard Jesus say, "I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood." You'll find that in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." Oh my! It's terrible. And yet Jesus asks his disciples to do that, to literally ingest him into their body and into their life. A faithful Jew would never eat flesh and certainly would never drink blood. So what was Jesus saying? Well, perhaps he was saying a great many things. There's a saying in our day that you are what you eat. Perhaps that's the best way of talking about that. Jesus literally wants his disciples to put himself in them, to live their lives as though Christ was in them and through them. For indeed, once he is ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit will be active in their lives. Yes, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Become part of me. You are what you eat, so let me be part of you. Live your life as though I am in you, dwelling in you. And I will give you what bread gives you, not just calories, not just carbohydrates, not just nutrition, but real life. Real life. 2,000 years after the fact, we still celebrate our Lord's death and resurrection with bread and wine. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that something? The Israelites celebrated the Passover with bread, unleavened bread, because they were on the move. They couldn't wait for the bread to rise. Certainly a lamb shank bone, perhaps the tiniest bit of meat on that. I don't think so. Herbs, salted water. And so it was a reflection. Around a table, they would remember what God had done for them, freeing them from the Egyptians so that they could go to a promised land. We do something a little different. We gather around God's table and we eat heavenly food. It looks like bread, but we believe it is the body of Christ as well. It tastes like wine, but we believe it is also the blood of Christ. And so we eat and drink and we remember Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And we think one day he will come again, for he's promised to come again. And that sustains us. Christ is our eternal bread. He continues to strengthen us, not just through sacrament, but as we gather together as Christians, as we hear his word, as we dwell on scripture, as we sing hymns. In us is the Spirit of Christ. He is our nutrition, our spiritual nutrition. He is our bread of life. My hope for us as we continue through the season of Lent is to make connections with Jesus and with our life here on earth. Jesus just doesn't hang around churches. You know, there's a sense that, oh, I go in church, I come to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit goes where it will. And it dwells on those who believe. And so when we go to work, we carry the Holy Spirit with us in our hearts and in our minds. And if we're thoughtful people, we share that Holy Spirit, that love of Christ with others. The bread of life goes with us too. And as we share Christ with others, people have a chance to truly know what it is to be alive and perhaps to look forward to eternal life. Let us celebrate this bread that is among us. Perhaps even as you see bread, you know, it would be nice. When you sit down to eat, you might begin with a prayer, giving thanks to God. Not just on Thanksgiving, please. A lot of people pray for Thanksgiving. That's perfectly great. But when you sit down for a meal, to say a short prayer for the food that's on your table. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate this. It's delicious. Help me to be a good person as I eat this food. Help me to be a good believer. Give thanks to God. When you see a piece of bread, think about Christ. Perhaps even think about the sacrament, about God who strengthens us and nourishes us and enlivens us through simple things like bread and wine, spoken and given through the Word of God. May God strengthen us as we hear these words. Let us imagine that what was true almost 2,000 years ago was true for us. That when the disciples gathered with our Lord around that Passover table, indeed he shared his own body and blood with them. And every Sunday, as we are able, we gather to celebrate that meal and to take part in it here in Orwicksburg, so that Christ might be alive in us and we might share the life of Christ with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.